This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's been a good week, been a momentous week around our house because this was the week that we went ahead and got, is going to start up and trying to do something. And I'm trying to stop it. Stop it. Stop it. There we go. Been a good week, been a momentous week. This was the week that we got Nana moved into assisted living. I think maybe I mentioned last week that the same room that my dad was in, I just put power steering fluid in this car this morning and it's already groaning on me. So it's getting about time to replace that power steering fluid pump. When it started leaking, I had mentioned it to the mechanic, and he said, well, how much putting in? And I said, well, I'm putting in, you know, a little bit every month. And he said, that doesn't sound too bad. So, or the guy that was sitting there with him said, that doesn't sound too bad. I said, no, I can put in a little. We're to the point now where I'm, like, putting in some, if not every day, every other day. So I think it's about time to replace the power steering pump. Just figure out where the leak is and be done with this thing. But that will come up. That will be coming up in the next week or two. So, anyways, we got Nana moved in, got her some extra furniture that's smaller, and my wife and my daughter are going through her house and trying to get things cleaned out, given away, distributed among the relatives, trying to get all that stuff done. So that's very exciting. But thankfully, it's not very exciting for me because I just come in when there's a little heavy lifting that needs to be done and things need to be assembled. And we got that taken care of today. So I think we have everything assembled and everything is over there and we're good to go. And Nana hasn't quite settled in over there yet, but she already has friends and she already has people to sit with and talk with when they're having their meals. And so, you know, that's all seems to be settling in, and I fully expect that, you know, it's going to be just fine. So it's good. It's good. And it's going to be just a really, really nice environment for her for as long as she can stay there. They do have some rules. When the fire alarm goes off, when my dad was there, it was when the fire alarm goes off, you of your own accord have to be able to get up out of bed and get decent and leave the building within 5 minutes or something like that. I think Nana still has that capability, so I think that's fine. And, you know, they'll check on her every couple hours, make sure she's okay, and they get her all her meals, and they'll do her laundry for her, and they'll administer her pills if need be. And so it's a pretty good deal. I'm going to go ahead and move this up a little bit because it looks like it's sliding, and then it'll thump off, and we'll try to head that off of the pass. So, writing is going well. I am on chapter 30, which I believe will be the last main chapter. There's usually some sort of news, N-E-W-S, news chapter, where it gives us a chance to kind of do a big overview and get a few other extra viewpoints. So there's going to be one of those to write. Those usually write really fast. And then there's the epilogue, but I think I know what I'm doing for the epilogue. And I think I know what's happening in the last chapter, and hopefully I can get it all said in the last chapter. It's always a potential it may spill over into a chapter and a half. This is where it does get interesting. And sometimes you just have to fluff it out because I don't like the chapters to run any more than about 16 pages in draft. 16, 17 on the outside, no less than 12. So it's sometimes, you know, the chapters need to come in somewhere around 12 to 17 pages. And so if I'm working on chapter 30 and that 30th chapter ends up being 20 pages, well, then it's going to have to get split into two, and I'm going to have to put some fluff in there to kind of pad things out, but there's always places you can pull fluff, so I think it'll be fine. So there's a good possibility, there's a good possibility, I'll say, that this thing is going to stretch into a chapter 31, but I think that'll be it. So, I doubt I'm going to land this thing this weekend, because a page is about 350 words, so a chapter is, you know, 350 times 12, so it's about 4,000 words. I've got 4,000 to 6,000 words to get finished up by the end of this weekend. Probably we're going to bridge over into Sunday, Monday, maybe Tuesday, but yeah, I think we're ready to land this thing. So yay, once I get that done, that's 21 books. And then I've got to do a beta read on it, got to figure out what we're going to do for a cover. Jesus has helped us with 20 covers. I would guess he'll help us with the other four. So that's kind of what's going on with the book over the next few weeks here. And hopefully by second week of September, I'll be ready to order books. And then I'll be ready to distribute PDFs to whoever would like a PDF for the beta readers. And then books, mail the rest of them when they come in. So that's good. And then it's out to beta. And then once it goes out to beta, I turned around immediately and I start work on book 22. So hopefully we'll be working on book 22, maybe third week of September, and have that half done before the beta copies of book 21 come back in mid-November. So things are puttering along. Someone was asking me today when I had started it, and I had this realization a couple of years ago, a couple of months ago, but it still gives me pause. I was talking to him and saying that, yeah, I started this project in 2014, and originally I had put on some notes, I expect to be well into my 70s before I get this finished, because there were 24 books. And then I got into it, and things were cranking, and I'm only going to be 66 when I finish this, so because it was a straight line 12 years, two books a year. Actually, one book on the first year in 2014, because I started late in the year, and so then it'll be one book in 2026. It'll be, you know, half a year overlap there, so... So, you know, it's been a fun project. It's been a really, really fun project. And people seem to enjoy the beta reading of it. So, you know, there you go. Costumes are coming along fine. I have kind of beefed out the story for my wonderful weirdo day. I probably mentioned that last week. I heard Jesus go, about... about one of these holidays, so I looked, and sure enough, right around that time, I'm having my dental appointment. September 9th is National Wonderful Weirdos Day, so that's fine. So I decided I was going to make a pterodactyl out of pool noodles, a pulchritudinous pool noodle pterodactyl. Pulchritudinous pool noodle pterodactyl. And so that's fine. What I'm also going to do, I think, is I'm going to combine that with a new website that I'm going to put up really fast, because I have the domain zarks.com, and I'm going to put up a business, zarks.com, specializing in hillbilly costumes, crawdads, and live bait. So that'll be fun. And I did get a onesie, a loose-fitting onesie, that is supposed to be some kind of like dinosaur or something. But it had the perfect color for my pool noodle pterodactyl. And And I got that in yesterday. It's great. It's fabulous. And then I found some kind of psychedelic lizard house shoes. I got them in, I think, yesterday. And they're fabulous. So things are coming together. I just have to get the headpiece done. I had also, before it was all starting, before I knew what I was doing for Wonderful Weirdo Day, I had ordered like a 2-foot-tall afro, orange afro wig. And I think after I get the pterodactyl head built, I'm just going to put the afro wig on the top horn. So it'll be cute. That'll be cute. And then I'll get back to the time traveler stuff. Although I have made some progress on the time traveler stuff as well. Made some plans there. I had ordered in a cyber helmet, kind of like a cyberpunk helmet. And upon inspection, a lot of the cool stuff on it is just made with plastic black carabiners that are just bolted to it. And then the lights that you would put on the back of your bike so that people could see you at night. And you can turn them red, you can turn them blue. And I thought, well, shoot. And so I went on Amazon and actually found, I think it was Amazon, maybe it was AliExpress, maybe it was Amazon. I found a 6-pack of those nearly identical lights. Found a 6-pack for, it was ridiculous, it was $12 or something like that. So I've got those coming in. I've got my holographic fan in. And so I still have to do some experimentation with round LED displays. And then how do I drive those with either Arduino or E32, E38 chips? I'm doing research, and it doesn't look like that's that hard to do. So, you know, if I can get a couple of doodads, ones that are the size of watch faces, and then maybe a bigger one that's actually a 5-incher that, you know, I can put different displays on. So those are moving, and my little holographic fan has stuff moving on it. I'm lit up with these bike lights. I think I can make this all work. And I don't think it'll be too difficult. I actually have a carbon fiber looking bodysuit coming in, so that's all good. Anyways, so that's all good, all is well. I'm still waiting to see. I was going to talk about the events of the week and how interesting it is. Well, maybe I'll save what I have until next week, because I got some things I got to do, so I need to wrap this up pretty quickly. But notable things this week. It's interesting because Kamala Harris and her vice president still haven't sat down to do any kind of press conference. And people have been running calendars. 25 days, 26 days. Still haven't, you know, putting pressure on her. Because they are of the opinion that once she gets in live answering questions, that she's going to go off the rail. Because right now it's just a popularity contest and they have everybody signed in. Well, apparently, all the conservatives and the Republicans talking about this, and the fact that Trump is going around and doing things like 2-hour conversations with Elon Musk, apparently that has exerted enough pressure that even the legacy media is now starting to bicker about the fact that they haven't had any sit-down discussions with Kamala Harris. So it's going to be interesting to see how long she can hold out with that. And there have been a lot of people commenting on the fact that there are no policies being expressed. No one knows what her agenda is going to be or what she's trying to do, where she thinks she's going to take the country. Aside from the fact, I'm sure you all are aware, that Trump had suggested no tax on tips, and she came out right behind him and suggested no tax on tips, which is a really interesting move. I mean, like, well, did you think that was going to play? Although the legacy media did make every attempt to help her let it play. It's funny because Newsweek talked about Kamala Harris proposes no tax on tips. Here's what economists are saying. It's like, and then you get into the article and kind of down in the article, it says, well, you know, Donald Trump did propose this as well. And what was funny is when Donald Trump proposed it, there were actually some Democrats that were like, well, you can't, and then, you know, Kamala Harris came out and proposed it, and then they didn't know what to say. So there's that stuff going on. That's very interesting. But it was also very interesting that apparently the news about inflation had gotten bad enough that someone in her campaign decided that it was time to make some sort of proposal to let people know, because Donald Trump kept talking about the fact that he's going to bring energy, you know, prices down, and the process he's going to fix the economy problems, because that's going to make everything cheaper and they're going to get inflation underway and blah, 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 blah. So from what I read today, she actually announced a policy proposal that was going to help people with food prices. And the proposal was that she was going to put together a commission to investigate price gouging by businesses, specifically in the food industry, because they just looked at the record profits of the food industry and they decided that they're gouging. They're gouging people, and we have to stop that. And so the proposal was that she was going to put together this commission that was going to decide whether or not businesses were price gouging. And if they were, then she was going to fine them, you know, and she was going to tell them. I don't know if she's actually going to tell them what prices they need to charge, but oh man, there was a reaction to that, because if she's actually going to tell businesses how much they're supposed to be charging for the food they sell, you are back in the USSR. That's what you are. Because that's what the USSR did. It just fixed prices and told businesses what they could charge for stuff. That does not go well. That really does not go well. We have abundant evidence that that does not go well. So we'll see how people react to that. And then I was even reading, the New York Times had put out an article reflecting on this and saying, well, they're saying that, you know, companies are price gouging, and they just came out and said, you know, the truth of it is it's more complicated than that. And they were talking about the shortages, and when you have a shortage, costs go up, because in the pandemic, everything got shut down and it takes a little while to get restarted, yada, 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 yada. And they were right. The New York Times article was actually right, and it wasn't horribly biased toward Kamala Harris. It was more middle of the road and just saying, yeah, well, there might have been some gouging that were done by businesses, but there's much more than just that. And, you know, you got to be really careful to do this type of thing. So it's all interesting. It's all interesting. I know that the last 3 weeks have just looked like a rah-rah session for Kamala Harris, but she hasn't sat down for any interviews. She hasn't said what she's going to try to propose. And when she has said what she's going to try to propose, it's either been taken from Donald Trump or it's something that looks to be dead on arrival. So, you know, we'll see how this all goes. It's very, very interesting. It was noted this week that the whole Trump assassination thing seems to just have completely disappeared from the news, because apparently we don't care. Even though there are tons of outstanding questions. And I was listening to one guy talk about the fact that he lives out in California, and I think it was Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs. He said, I live out in California. And he said, I was talking to friends of mine, and he said, that are staunch Democrats. And he said, the only thing I've ever been able to get traction with them is I've said, so let's just switch roles. If President Obama had suffered an assassination attempt and had survived, do you think we would have stopped talking about it now? Or would we be demanding answers? And they all acknowledged, sure, we would be demanding answers. Yes, absolutely. He said, but then they go on to justify it and said, you know, but that's because it's Obama, you know, not Trump. So, okay. Okay, so we're firmly ensconced in this idea that certain lives are better than other lives and they deserve other things. But that's the way it is right now. So, you know, it's an interesting time. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.